I'm going to need to be unapologetic, so I'm not necessarily apologizing as much as I'm informing you this morning that their message will be a little bit longer this morning just by the nature. I'll tell you the motivation behind it has been both my own personal intimacy with the Lord and some of the conversations I've had with individuals here that I bring a message with a very unusual title. But I want the whole time this morning to begin with you praying with me according to the great commandment. You know the great commandment. The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second one is much like it. You shall love your neighbor when they come from South Austin Community Church as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Pray with me, if you would, along these lines. Lord, help me to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself because of Christ. Leaving the lights dim for just a minute because there's a video. I don't normally show videos, but it's something that I have had on repeat. Maybe I'll add a portion to either the weekly or newsletter, not newsletter, but the weekly bulletin or the newsletter. What does the pastor have on repeat? And this is one of the songs I have on repeat. We'll get there in just a second. John 4:23, you don't need to turn there because we're actually going to start there. We're actually going to make our way into 2 Samuel chapter 6 eventually because I'm preaching this morning on the biggest but in the Old Testament. As I watch some of the videos, one of which you're going to see in just a minute, and then I read into the comments, I see individuals criticizing a display of praise, and they're criticizing them contrary to what's in the Scriptures. Jesus Himself said in John 4:23, but the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He says this, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Ramon, it's about a 6.5 minute video. Hang with me if you will. singer there is a lady by the name of Jen Johnson. Her husband was on the acoustic guitar. They started leading praise in the children's group, in the children's department for many, many years. And now they lead at Bethel Church in Redding, California. I'm not fully embracing the church's doctrine by any stretch of the imagination. That wasn't a concert. That was a normal recording of a Sunday morning service. That's just their Sunday morning. Anybody know where those lyrics came from? Lord, teach us how to pray. And what do you think she's doing? It begs the question, what's acceptable during praise and worship? Let me ask you this question. What is unacceptable? That's got over 1 million YouTube hits, and you can go look on there and you can see criticism after criticism after criticism. But what do the Scriptures teach? What truly do the Scriptures teach? I'm going to look at five categories this morning from the Scriptures, and we're going to make our way to 2 Samuel chapter 6 to answer much of this. As we see, again, the biggest but in the Old Testament, the five categories are these five. There's a display. There's the most feared D word in Baptist churches. Dance. There's dress. Distraction. And dignity. Now, if you're making your way to 2 Samuel chapter 6, let me first tell you I've had a conversation with Joshua about this the other night. That was somewhat fun. He was telling me, you know, he's had both Hebrew and he's had Greek, and he's telling me, Dad, there really is no Hebrew word in the Old Testament for the word but. There's a kind of a transitional word that we translate in English, and he said there's not a Greek word distinctly used in the New Testament that was normally and exclusively translated but, and so our conclusion is really that there isn't a but in the Old Testament, there's barely a but in the New Testament. I know, you're just shaking your head like, Pastor, come on. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 5. The chapter begins with David getting 30,000 men together to move the ark, the presence of God, and indeed to initiate an incredible praise session. But they don't go very far. Let me tell you what really happens beginning in verse 5. And David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. Omar, what do you think it'd be like to integrate 17 instruments into the praise session? We'd have to tear out a portion and dip the stage this way and put the stage this way. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there because of his error, and he died there beside the ark of God. You want a good explanation of that? Catch R.C. Sproul's The Holiness of God. Message, I believe, number 3. Maybe number 2. Maybe number 3. Completely explains what's going on there. I'm not going to reiterate that. I will tell you, if you missed it on Wednesday, you missed profound explanation and exegesis of that passage. And David was angry because the Lord had broken out against Uzzah, and that place is called Peruzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day. Jim, I thought that was something you might add to Wednesday. I am lamenting that I am not going to be here Wednesday night. I have to fly to Sunnyvale on Tuesday and back Friday. And I'm not sure if I'm going to ask Scott to swap with Jim so I can catch the message, or if I can just have somebody leave an iPhone out and record it. And the reason I say that is Jim and I got the fellowship yesterday about that message. I am lamenting that I'm going to miss that. I'm just thoroughly excited. And there's a hint here. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David was not willing to take the ark of the Lord into the city of David. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom to the Gittite, and the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Verse 12. And it was told King David, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. Now let me ask you something. Is it because of this gold-laden structure that he's being blessed? It's because of the representation that this is the presence of God. This is the presence of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. What does it look like when King David leads the praise time for the nation of Israel with somewhere around 30,000 soldiers? Well, It was told King David. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. Verse 13. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, 18 feet, unless you got short legs, 15 feet, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. I'm going to ask you again, what is acceptable and unacceptable demonstration to the Lord? Verse 14 challenges every Baptist. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And maybe what would bother us even more, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of the Lord brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting with the sound of the horn. Verse 16, as the ark of God came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window, saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. How extravagant was David's display? Really, every 6 steps? You'd sacrifice an animal? Hey, PETA, come and watch David worship. How many animals are going to be offered up that day? Anybody have any idea how long this worship session was going to take if they stopped every 15 feet? David, can you hurry up? I'm hungry. And in the words of Simpson, Bart Simpson, don't have a cow, man. Wait a minute. If you're offering an animal every 6 feet, well, then you really can't have a cow. I mean, he is providing lunch on the way. I don't know how much lunch. But is David's display and demonstration of worship excessive? Not in the least. Is it not David that is described as a man after God's own heart? Why would I begin to approach a subject like this? As Omar and I were meeting in my office this morning and we were praying, and the Lord struck to my heart the thought that if we're not careful, we come into the house of God just like Adam and Eve after their sin. God, I'm hiding from you. I'm going to withhold from you. There's portions of me I'm not going to give you or let you see. What prompted all of that behavior in the garden? Sin. And if we're not careful when we come into the house of the Lord with unconfessed sin, we will hide. We will withhold. We will avoid God. Even when we've supposedly come into the house of God. It's not my desire to make TOBC physically look like that. But if I could break the chains off of you of tradition and self-centeredness and let you begin to express praise unto God that freely, I would set you free. However, I realize that Christ has set you free to do that. And if you're not intimately in the presence of God, it's because you're holding on to the chains. It's not because the chains are holding on to you. I imagine somebody in Sunnyvale this week is going to be wondering, what the heck is going on in this hotel room? Because I'm probably going to have my headphones on, and I may be dancing before the Lord in the privacy of my hotel room. And I'm not going to be ashamed. A little disruptive, baby. Only to the people behind, below me. But let's not ask the church to go quite that far yet. But I'm not even going to ask anybody to go this far. But I know from talking to individuals, there is an expression of freedom of praise that you would want to bring into the sanctuary and you withhold from God. And what I want to do is set the biblical passage out so that no one should ever approach you and ask you, why did you do this during the praise time? Let's start with something as simple as raising of the hands. Well, let's look at it from a biblical perspective. You can jot the notes down or the verses down, but let me read them to you. in Nehemiah 8:6, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen and Amen. Verily, verily, truly, truly, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Can you imagine someone in the back on the side aisles during the praise time bowing down with their faces to the ground? Do you know my favorite place to pray is right back behind that pulpit, that right behind that pillar there when this place is empty? It's kind of the equivalent of the location where I got saved in a Catholic church. It's where I first came and prayed to the Lord on my face over here when I had the honor of becoming pastor here. And when I need to reset myself and come into the presence of God and this place is empty, it's somewhere over there. If it's splashing, nobody spilled water over there. It was my time with the Lord. But what about something as simple as freeing up people to lift up their hands? I'm telling you, the neat thing about Jen Johnson here, whether she's doctrinally sound or not, is it really looks like she could care less what anybody thinks except her Savior. It's almost uncontainable. Psalm 141, verse 2, let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. We know how critical the sacrificial system was. And the psalmist would say, let the lifting of my hands be received as an evening sacrifice. 1 Timothy 2, I desire therein that in every place men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. There's certainly an emphasis on anger and quarreling, but they're lifting up holy hands. You know, maybe you don't need to see this one, but in Luke 24:50, then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany. And guess what he did? He lifted up his hands. And he blessed mankind. You got to wonder why as mankind we can't lift up our hands and bless the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, if there's four or five of you in the room that want to lift your hands in praise, do so. And if there's one or two of you who would want to criticize, I dare say, please go back into the Scriptures. When Charlie or Kenzie or Judah want to be close to us, when they want to be held by us, to cuddle with us, they stand before us with their hands, what? Lifted up. How much more so when the child of God who has the privilege of crying out, Abba, Father. But then there's that D word. That's the display. And I'm just freeing people up who want to be able to lift their hands in praise. Feel free to do so. I remember when I was in a Pentecostal church, not a Baptist church. It was a true Pentecostal church. I had just gotten saved. I had gone into the military and I didn't have any place to go. And the places, nearest church I could find was a Pentecostal church and walked there till somebody started to give me a ride. And I remember the first Sunday actually trying to lift my hands and it just felt so scary. And from that time on, I was free. I may lift my hands up small, if you will. You know, there's Baptists raising their hands here. Right? And those with deodorant can go up a little higher. I just dare say anything you do in the presence of the Lord when you're alone lines up with Scripture is welcomed here. How is it that we could play just a couple of beats and Omar and Julie's kids start dancing? Do you teach your kids how to dance in homeschooling? Are you capable of teaching them how to dance in homeschooling? I'm going to talk a little bit about learning how to dance. Jim and I can tell you how. Folks, when David danced, can I read this for you again from 2 Samuel chapter 6? And David danced before the Lord with all his might. What was held back? Who was he concerned about? No one. What verse do you hear repeated in your head when you read this passage? David danced with all his might. Certainly Psalm 149, certainly Psalm 150. Praise the Lord and dance. Praise the Lord and dance. But when I read that, David danced before the Lord with all his might, I think of the greatest commandment that we profess and we pray every Sunday. to love the Lord our God with all our strength and with all our might. Did you praise the Lord that way this morning? I probably didn't. So focused on what I wanted to say and what I felt the Lord wanted to say. But how many of you have ever danced before? On our anniversary, Kristen's not here, so it won't be quite as embarrassing to me. We share the exact same anniversary date with Jim and Kristen, and so quite often we do double dating. And this last time we went out to eat, and we were scheduled to do dance lessons, three different types of dance lessons. And Jim and I were effective at, for the first time in our lives, eating slowly, such that there was only dance, one dance ready when we got there. And despite what these ladies may have said about mine and Jim's dancing, I believe we both have tremendous rhythm. It just doesn't align with the music whatsoever. And it was an awkward situation because you're learning, we just caught the salsa. And believe it or not, I know for some folks I'm Puro Willio, I'm the white man. I grew up in that culture. So I've got a little bit of rhythm for salsa, and we're all facing the mirror and we're all practicing our moves and just feeling the groove and going down. It's okay. And then they said, all right, turn around and the partner, have your partner line up in front of you. And so Kathy's right in front of me and we start doing the salsa together. And this, all right, yeah, it's anniversary night. You know, we're dancing and salsa is the sexy dance. And then for some reason that man said, now switch. And Kristen has to come line up in front of me. I have not danced with somebody other than my sister or my stepmom in 34 years. Or maybe my daughter's at a wedding. And now I'm dancing with an elder's candidate's wife. We managed. That was okay. Then came the cougar, who was there by herself, dressed up for the prowl. Then came the very young girl who was there with a boyfriend, and that one wasn't as bad. Then the interesting one was when I danced with a lesbian. She was there with her female partner, and I made it through that night. And you know what, folks? How is it that I'll dance before men, but I won't dance before the Lord? It was an awkward night, no doubt about it. We laughed for hours, and only now, through intense therapy, am I able to speak of that evening. Church, can I ask you a question? Is it biblical to dance before the Lord with all our might? Man, I hope you'll find yourself sometime this week. Close the curtains, shut off the lights, and I would even put headphones on so nobody even hears the music. And just dance before the Lord. You know what the scriptures say in Zephaniah 3:17? It says that God dances over us. It's not real clear until you understand the Hebrew. The Lord your God is in your midst. He's a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. And that rejoice is a picturesque. The Hebrew language is picturesque. And that rejoice is an indication of the God of the universe dancing over us. He will quiet you by His love. And He will exalt over you with loud singing. Verse 18 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. And when David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. The entire nation is blessed by this man's worship. And he distributed among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins to each one. Those cake of raisins can only go to married couples because it's intended to sustain them for the evening, if you know what I'm talking about, folks. Then all the people departed, each to his house. David has led praise, and the nation of Israel has followed, and they have been blessed. And in verse 20, and David returned to bless his household, but there's your biggest but in the Old Testament. The man has blessed the nation. The man has blessed in his expression of praise and his uninhibited worship of the living God. And he goes home to bless his home, and there's a word there that says, but it won't happen here. It doesn't happen in the home here. But Michael, But Michael, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel has honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. And David, being the whipped husband that he is, says to Michael, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as a prince over Israel, the people of the Lord. And I will celebrate before the Lord. Verse 22. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this. And I will be abased in your eyes, but by the female servants of whom you have spoken, by them I should be held in honor. There's three more D words, and we pick up two of them here. We talk about the dress. David was wearing a linen ephod. It's just not much clothing, folks. Such that his wife was saying he was uncovering himself before the eyes of his servants. And David, in his expression of love for the Lord, wore a loincloth. But when God demonstrated his own love toward us, Romans 5:8, but when God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. In Christ's lavish demonstration of his love for the Father and his love for us, he wore less than that. The crucifixion had him naked. Nothing was on. That was part of the attempt to humiliate. And you would sit there and say, yeah, but Jesus didn't have a choice and David did. Wrong. 12,000 angels could have stopped an awful lot of Roman soldiers. I dare say a one-armed angel could have stopped 200 Roman soldiers while he was sleeping. If he just flinched, 200 Roman soldiers would have died. Christ chose that, not just in an expression of his love for us, but in an absolute and complete submission in glorifying the Father. Folks, please don't get me wrong. I'm not going to advocate anybody coming in here wearing something with the intent of drawing attention to themselves. I won't advocate that. But I've watched girls cry in that back corner room because they came to visit here. And they were uncomfortable with what they wore because somebody said something to them that made them uncomfortable. I've been here 7 years, 52 weeks, it's 364 Sundays. And I remember that one. I remember that one vividly. We got to be careful about dress. We got to be careful about it distracting. I want to talk a little bit about distractions. Some of this you may want to just go to the back of the sanctuary. Some of this you may just want to do in the privacy of your own home or hotel room. I understand that. I'm looking forward to this week's travel, not because I'm away from the family, but because they don't have to come in and accidentally see me dancing before the Lord. But folks, how distracting is it when a 250-pound sweaty man carries an object about this big made of pigskin or rawhide across some white line in the grass? And when he gets across there, this 250-pound sweaty man is then joined by 7 or 8 300-pound sweaty men, and they dance in celebration. How does that shape crossing that white line compare to a stone being rolled away and death being conquered? So if a bunch of sweaty men can get around and dance, and they all have their own dance, I won't do any of them for you. Why would we restrict ourselves? And you know, half the time we may be dancing in our living room with them. Have you ever jumped up off the couch when your team scored a touchdown? Confess. It's confession here. Oh, come on. Touchdown, hands up. Raised from the dead, hands up higher. Okay? Now, come on, I know you guys dance when they score. Even I do. Not much to dance about this year for my team, but let me ask you a question. Who was criticizing the king in this passage? Was it not the bride of the king? Church, we don't want to become the biggest butt today, where the bride is criticizing the king or the worship of the king. We don't want to become one of the bigger butts. Who was blessed by the king? Was it not the whole nation of Israel? But I want to ask you a question. Who was not blessed? It was the person who criticized the king's expression of praise to God. Note that this expression of praise and worship was mocked by someone whose lineage was rejected by God. Michal is the daughter of Saul. Saul and his lineage was rejected by God as the king. And here's what David reminds her. It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house. Expressions of praise are still rejected by those whom the Lord would say, you are of your father, the devil. Who would not want Christ to receive the fullness of praise? I'll tell you, because he exposes himself in Luke chapter 4. You see, Satan is actually okay with worship as long as it's not worship of Christ. Satan would rather have you worship him. What does he say in Luke 4? All this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. Verse 16 says, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw the king leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. But there's a very peculiar word that David uses in his answer to Michal, his wife and the daughter of Saul. And I pointed that word out to you in a minute. Verse 22, it says, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, and I'll celebrate before the Lord. It's odd. What is David? He's a king. Why would he use this word prince? You don't have to turn back, but in 1 Samuel 13:14, please hear this carefully. Please hear this verse carefully and understand what David is referring to when he calls himself the prince. And then see how this all ties into what we're seeing as an expression here. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. This is the prophecy to David. And the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people. That's the prophet telling Saul he was losing his throne. David refers to himself as that prince because David knows he's that man after God's own heart. It's not a distraction. It's God's direction. Well, we've got one more D to talk about, do we not? I mean, we've talked about the display and whether or not it is or isn't extravagant. And what is too extravagant for the Lord? Nothing. The dancing, the dress, the distraction. But let's talk about us because we're more dignified. You almost want to burp when you say that word. Here's the dignity. Here's the dignity. Here's the king in front of all the people, before all the people, and explaining himself to his wife, who happens to be the daughter of the unchosen, if you will. I will make myself yet more contemptible, is how the ESV reads, and I love the NIV. The NIV says, I will become even more undignified than this. If you've ever heard the David Crowder song, that's one of the things, it's a lyric in his song. I will become yet more undignified than this. You know what this tells me? In this expression that we see of David leaping and dancing, did David set the outer limit of what was acceptable? He did not. Did David say, this is as far or as expressive as you can get? He says, I will become more undignified than this. There's no limit here. There's no limit. But how would we measure Christ's worship of the Father? Would we not say that Christ's hands were lifted up? They might have been held in place by nails, but they were lifted up. His dress was very undignified. He was on display for all the world to see. Listen, folks, I know I'm coming into strongholds of traditions. And I realize there are people who are saying, I can't. Or worse, I won't. I'm going to ask you some tough questions and see if any of these phrases catch your heart. My prayer is that it does not. Lord, I'm going to withhold my expression of praise and worship of you because I don't want to embarrass myself. Lord, I'm going to withhold my expression of praise and worship of you because I'm more concerned about what others are thinking. Lord, I'm going to withhold my expression of praise and worship of you because it's not proper for someone like me. Folks, truly, nothing and no one should ever receive greater excitement from us, greater enthusiasm from us, a greater response from us, or a greater display of any of that than the Savior. Nothing ever should be more exciting to us that we express praise more so. So if you sit absolutely still during the Super Bowl of your team and they win with 3 seconds left and you just sit there and say amen, then do so in the house of God. But don't ever let your expression of anything other than the Savior be more magnanimous, more expressive of your worship of the Lord. What on earth or in heaven deserves a response greater than our Heavenly Father? And if we worship God the way we love God, then hear this passage this way. Lord, I want to worship you with all my heart. I want to worship you with all my soul. I want to praise you with all my mind. And I want it to be displayed with all my strength. Folks at TLBC, as long as I am one of the elders here, and as long as the Scriptures are our authority and the elders I know aren't going to change this, I want you to have the biblical freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ to use any biblical means to express your praise to the Heavenly Father. And for those who are in here who have said in their heart or to someone else, I want to raise my hands, but I'm just afraid to or ashamed to, please don't ever let anything hinder you. I'm going to finish with these questions and close back with the verse that I started with. Do you worship the Lord the way you want to? Do you worship the Lord the way you like to? I want to ask you a tougher question. Or do you worship the Father in a way that the Spirit of God inside of you desires to worship Him? For someone who's not Spirit-filled, it's easy to avoid any of these expressions of praise because it doesn't rise up in the person. For the Spirit-filled saint, it's going to be something that you're either going to do it. My hands are up, right? Did I get struck? There's no holes in the ground. Do you worship the Father in a way that the Spirit of God inside of you desires to worship Him? And the reason I say that is because Jesus made a statement in John chapter 4, verse 23. He says, the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. What does the Spirit of God in you want to do as an expression of praise? Because we're called to worship in spirit and in... I think we're grounded in the truth. From Sunday school to discussions to elders, we're grounded in the Scriptures. We've got the truth, but do we have the Spirit? Because Jesus says, my Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Are you a people who are ready to worship Him and perhaps to be expressive? And I realize that for some, it's going to be as difficult as a struggle to be expressive in their praise as it was the day they got saved. It is that strong of a spiritual bondage that stems from the traditions of men. And I will say that because I've already shown you from the Scriptures that there's freedom in Christ. There's freedom in Christ. And that the men of God who led for God and who loved God and led men in the love of God leapt, danced, put their hands up in the air, and were extravagant in their praise. Let's not do anything less than what the Spirit of God inside of us wants to do. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Let's pray. Father, one of the things we never realize is that our denomination not only explains our doctrine, but unfortunately it also explains our display of affection. Oh, this is a Baptist church. Father, I don't ever want to take that title off of the name of the church, but I sure would like to take that chain off of the lives of the people. Nothing in the word Baptist ever meant we were supposed to be restrained in our praise. It was never intended for that. There is a time to be still and know that you're God. And there are times to sing with loud praises and loud cymbals. And who are we to withhold from you what you deserve when the Spirit of God inside of us yearns and cries out to express that way? Is praise really about us? I don't want. Oh God, forgive us for that sin. It is sin. When we think we can withhold what the Spirit of you in us wants to express through us, and we say no. Is that not what Paul warned us against, the quenching of the Spirit? Father, we certainly want to be led by the Spirit of God, but let us truly be led by the Spirit of God, by your Spirit. And to physically as well as verbally offer you the praise. Move us away from going through motions. Not to be led by emotions, but to certainly express them unto our praise of you. Make us like a man after your own heart. Not just David. But make us like your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.